All right, Jason. A little fun to start the show. I don't know what to call this game necessarily. Will they answer?
Yeah.
Okay, so our friend Marco, he went to a wedding that we were at recently. How would you describe him? Chubby.
A short. He's jacked. He's a meatball with muscles.
Yeah. He's like Meatwad had legs.
Yeah, that, like he's like jacked. Arms just a little bit thinner than his actual body.
Yes. Okay, so all right, you got to call him. Do you think he's picking up? We'll give it, you know, how many rings? We'll give it till it goes to voicemail.
Till voicemail, yeah.
Till voicemail, $20 on the line. You got to say yes or no. If he picks up, you win 20. If you say yes, obviously, and the inverse applies on no.
My gut tells me he's going to answer this call.
Okay.
Let's see.
All right, he's dialing.
I'll put it on speaker. I don't know how well this is picking up, but...
Pretty well. I can hear it. I'd give you an extra five if you can name the number of ring he picked up on.
4.
I don't think so.
Hold on. Don't give up yet.
Hi, you have reached the voicemail.
Hold on. I'm leaving him a voicemail.
As soon as possible. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message.
I hate this thing. Can we get rid of this in voicemails? Like, we know.
You know it.
We all know. Who's hitting one for more options? Marco, happy belated birthday. You just cost me $20. See you later, you douchebag.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Pop culture pile driver, get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi and out of breath. And this here program is the Pop Culture Pile Driver. You can follow me across all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. And you can follow our show at Pop Culture PD on Twitter. And with me, as always, is the man who doesn't sing the intro song, but every time I hear it, I still think it sounds like him. He is the bad boy of Twitter, Mr. Copyright Infringement, Billy Audio, my guy, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere, can be followed across some social media platforms at Billy D. 2411 and other ones, Billy D. 24 and then the word 11. I still don't know your Twitter handle, but anyways, he's Billy D. What's going on, dude?
Yeah, Billy D. 24, the word 11. Maybe I'll see if I can get a dash in there with like Billy D. 24 underscore 11. We'll try. Sure. We'll try. We'll figure it out. Got to get the OnlyFans up and running again, too.
Yeah, the OnlyFans got banned as well because they were saying too hot of content, but you could still check it out if you like. But we're just trying to get Billy back on Twitter. We need to get those followers back. I'm tagging everybody possible. All right. It's an absolute disgrace. The man has such great content when it isn't getting copyright infringed, when he isn't showing off the biceps, getting banned from all social media platforms. But yeah, get over there. Follow him again. The Twitter handle is
BillyD24, the word 11. So we'll change it to BillyD24 underscore 11 probably. That might be up for grabs. Who knows?
Who knows? Twitter is a weird... Wait, did I put this on my Twitter and not the Pilpocha Pile Driver Twitter? Sorry, I'm just trying to get through here in life. Yeah, I did by accident. Put it under mine. Anywho, but Bill, today, one of our favorite topics, I'd say.
Muzak
cover style. So we're going to be discussing the greatest or the best, our favorites, whatever, breaking down basically cover songs from our favorite artists, some of the songs that you might not know were cover songs. But we're going to get into that in just a minute. As you know, our nonprofit tag team partner in that side is FrancisHyde.com. Help raising funds for those affected by cancer and experiential events. If you can donate, check out FrancisHyde.com for more information. Bill, our music comes from Oh Yeah.
Oh Yeah.
They get anything cooking? Do we get anything?
Very soon they'll have another thing dropping. And a lot of the songs we're going to talk about today, my buddy Rye covers them with his band Copilot. So.
Love that. Saw them out, out and about where, you know, Boston, we're still able to get out and still so far until the world changes back into some weird place again. We're still able to get out there and mask free, but be safe, get vaccinated. Don't be a dink. There was something else. There's something on the tip of my tongue there, Bill, but I can't remember what it was. But also people can check out our merch over at TeePublic. They can also check out, that's a chunky.
Exclamation point. That's a chunky.
Oh, very much important, that exclamation point, because that can throw everything off. And I'm not kidding. I mean, it sounds like sarcasm, but I'm not. But yeah,
TeePublic is fickle. It's very fickle.
You want to know, I'm telling you, Bill, I think we can create our own store. I don't think we need them.
You don't think we need TeePublic? That would put the revenue right through the roof, but then that would put the lawsuits on us.
Oh. Didn't quite think of the lawsuit side of things, but I did think about the revenue-making side of things. But, well, whatever. We can figure all that out. We got lawyers, right? Isn't Goo a lawyer?
No.
Max a lawyer?
No, he's a firefighter.
Fryer's got to be a lawyer.
I think he is Esquire.
Yeah, isn't that what that means?
I don't know.
Wes? He seems like he has money, right?
Wes is very litigious. So I don't know if he's necessarily a lawyer, though.
Okay. Davey? Not a lawyer.
Davey likes to argue like me, so he'd be good in a courtroom, but I don't know if he's actually legalese.
I don't know if an arguer is what you want. You want it in certain positions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes being quiet can...
Litigator. I mean, we'd be in litigation probably for, hey, you stole my idea and made money off it.
Keefe a lawyer?
I think he's probably the furthest thing from a lawyer in the DSG. He would get thrown out of court.
Doc?
He's a doctor. No way. Is this Marco?
I'm getting a call back from our cold open. Doesn't count, though.
Legit call back. Declining
the call. Yeah, declining the call. Like, what are we doing?
It's a callback, though, right?
It is a callback, and I'll be honest, me and that gentleman that – I think we should do the cold open. By the way, Shine the lawyer?
No, he's a radio producer.
Yeah. He said that with kind of like you're talking down about him, Bill.
He was a radio host on Friday, I believe.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Good. I love to see that stuff. This is stuff that they should have been doing for a long time. Hey, Mari, Miss Mawson. We miss you. Bill, I will just say before we get into our cover songs, that our friend Marco there, I think part of this cold open that we did there, we should do it with DSG members. Like, imagine next week I'm calling Keith.
No way.
Davey? You think Davey would answer?
Maybe.
We got to stop
Davey's
talking.
Davey's maybes?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't even know if any of those guys listen. But at this point, like, Fryer, I think, could. He's a sneaky. I think he would answer.
Yeah. I mean, what else is he doing?
I don't know. Honestly, dating some girl or something like that and being busy. Anyways, but yeah, we're here not to talk all that nonsense. But I think that's definitely a recurring open, or at least some part of our show. Just
randomly. We don't have anything. That's what it is.
I love that. That was good. Anywho, but yeah, best cover songs, Bill. We both enjoy music through and through. We've talked music throughout our friendship, our lives. And we both set forward a bunch of songs that we just want to kind of ping back and forth. My first glance at both of our lists, I believe we only had three songs that were on both of our lists.
Well, when I saw your list first, I took a couple off because my list, as usual, is very long. So I had a lot of the ones that you had, and I was just like, meh, take them right off there.
I think I made 11 songs just to keep it neat, just to keep it pop culture pop.
I probably made 22.
It looks like a lot more than 11. We'll just say that. But with that being said, we can kind of go back and forth. But when it comes to cover songs, my first impression and my first thought when I think of like what makes a good cover song is it neither needs to be like this sounds strange. I like extremes. Like it sounds like it has to have a somewhat of the original, because a lot of cover songs, people, we don't even know are cover songs because it sounds so different.
I'll tell you what, Weezer Toto can F off because they made it worse. Not only was it was out of the range, it was a little different, but it also just like took all the good stuff of like Toto at Toto's Africa, and it's just like it stripped it out. It was just no cool instruments, and Toto rocks, and they were just kind of like, eh.
Dude, I will say Weezer is one of my top five bands of all time, and I don't like Africa by Toto. I've talked about that on this pod. And so Weezer, when I saw them covering it, I'm like, I'm finally going to like it. But they just did the same song. They literally just recorded
it. A little bit worse.
Yeah. So I have a song on mine that I can even, I'll mention it now because I don't think it's just a song I like, but it's literally an exact replica. They sound exactly like it. It's Sugar Ray covering Joe Jackson's Is She Really Going Out With Him?
Yeah.
Because it sounds just like Joe Jackson, but I think I always, growing up, listening to an odd amount of Joe Jackson. I don't know if my dad just seemed to like Joe Jackson when I was younger, with like 8 tracks in the house. But I love Sugar Ray. And then I remember hearing Mark McGrath's voice going, he kind of sounds like Joe Jackson. And then like right towards the end of their popular run, like their hit-making run, they put this song out. And you're like, it just fit. It was like, you know, it's like slicing butter with a hot knife, Bill. It just happens and it just works. But it doesn't really, I wouldn't recommend it to people as an outstanding cover.
I think for me, a lot of the times what makes a really good cover, one, you didn't even know it was a cover, and you're like, oh, really? Like, Come On, Feel the Noise? That's a fucking cover. What a slap bet on that.
I believe it's spelled differently, though.
It is. C-U-M for the Whoa. Quiet Riot version. That's OnlyFans kind of content right there that we're talking. But that's like, you know, you didn't even know that was, like,
nope.
Because it came out so long ago, you figured it was original, but that was stolen. And there's a lot of those on my list that I didn't know were a cover at the time. Or it's a song that you do kind of know that didn't really capitalize on how good it was. And then that person takes it to the next level. And let's face it, musical accompaniments and, you know, production 50 years ago wasn't as good as it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So you're going to get some better songs. And I'll just shout out one right now for me that I also didn't know was a cover. And I listened to the first one today.
Yep.
Was Killing Me Softly by the Fugees, which is a cover, and it's just some nice sweet lady, Roberta Flack, singing the song that she wrote. It's a beautiful song, but the way the Fugees do it, Lauryn Hill is so into it, and that like little drum just does so much for it, where that's not in the original.
Yeah, and so it's borderline adaptation because of like the verses of Fugees, but no, you're right. Overall, it's a cover song. And when I'm just not a huge Fugee. I'm not I respect the talent of Lauryn Hill. I just can't get down with Lauryn Hill. But
The Score is one of the best albums of all time.
Yeah.
It really is there, especially for hip hop. And The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. I mean, people put her in the top 5 female rappers of all time, singularly for that album.
Well, that's all she did. I think we talked about this on this podcast in the past. Like, literally, that album, a live album, done. Mm-hmm. Like, she put out another album. Or no, I don't think that other album ever was released. It's just some weird stories. Not like, you don't get that stuff these days, I feel like, those weird, like, because everything's in the media. And like, I just couldn't believe that some of the news that came out about, you know, I don't know. Wait, real quick, I know it's a pivot, but did you see this Aaliyah story?
The former female pop star who's pick of the pod passed away.
Yes. No. So just quickly, because this, again, 90s is a weird time. I think this is actually 2001. She died right around 9/11. But there's a crazy story that just came out, Bill, about Aaliyah, that she was drugged and forced onto the plane.
I heard that before, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I've never heard a this. Lot, like probably when it happened, I heard something to that effect. My niece is actually named after her.
Yep.
Shout out Aaliyah. She'll probably be herself a female pop star in the day. But yeah, I heard that a while ago. It just kind of died off. But I mean, that's wild.
Yeah, wow. It was on NME. I was reading, most of my go-tos is Spin. Like, I used to love Spin back in the day. But NME is great. Like, Rolling Stone, you know, still occasionally does some really good rock or music articles. Pitchfork and some others, but I saw this come across on my Twitter feed and I read it, and my wife grabbed it and I was like, what is going on here? Yeah. But that just goes back to Lauryn Hill. Just like, stories were just different back then. Like
no Twitter.
Yeah. There was no social media. There was no anything. Like, you had to read hard magazines or soft magazines or books or like insights from people, and, you know, documentaries came out, or the VH1 Behind the Musics of Lauryn Hill. That's where a lot of
pop culture news was kind of on the low. There was no TMZ really back then at the level that it is now. And then, you know, even when like Larry King covered the hell out of, was it the Chris Benoit suicide? You know, that was like groundbreaking for the time. And that was almost 20 years ago now.
Yeah, just crazy. But going back to, so Lauryn Hill, you know, Fugees, that Be Killing Me Softly. I remember that song. Talk about a song that got played through like exploding radios, because that song, me and, friend of the podcast, Pat, there was a summer where that song was, I heard it on the radio for 27 straight days. Now, you could say, whoopity-doo. The only other song that beat it, but we said it didn't count, was the Macarena. We heard that song, but we also heard it at like parties. But it, like, back in the day of, like, let's just say this song probably came out in 97, I'm guessing. Like, let's just say the summer of 97.
I think it might have been 95, but yeah, somewhere around there.
Whichever summer, 90, whatever. like literally on the dial of the radio that we had, and that was the one we had to turn the knob to get to a station. I heard that on the actual radio for 27 straight days. Now, it was just wild. Like, that was just like something we always noted when I was playing video games out at the pool. So this song was literally just blasting when this song was out. So massive, massive hit by the Fugees.
Absolutely. All right. So why don't we ping pong back and forth here, because we got
I'm gonna go up my list. I'm gonna go up my list. I'm gonna go with Obadiah Parker's "Hey Ya," because we talked about it. Both of one of our favorite songs ever recorded. We still believe maybe one of the best Outkast song ever recorded. Clearly, I think the best work of Andre 3000. But to the like, this song is slap like bubblegum pop, super sad song, but covered in all the beautiful way and fun funkiness in the funk fusion, if we will, of Outkast. Obadiah Parker takes a song and brings exactly what I think Andre 3000 was trying to come across in the lyrics here. Strips it down, just a guitar. Used to be a radio station I worked for, used to have a Sunday morning over easy program where he played acoustic music for 4 hours. And this was a song that you would hear every single week. And as much as I love this song, it really does wrench.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Because it feel it takes all the, like, it, you know, the spoonful of sugar about this is gone, you know.
Without a doubt. It's
like,
raw,
the, let me some sugar. I am your neighbor. It doesn't happen here. Like, it does not help the medicine go down. It kind of, like you said, it shows it for what it is. And I don't like that. I need to be, like, given my compliment sandwich, if you will, with a song like that that's so shitty, basically. I need to have an upbeat feel.
Well, listen, I'm all about sugarcoating as much our way through lives here. Things get real serious, real easy. But this one, I don't know. There's something about this song I can easily listen to when I'm working, or it's kind of easy listening as well.
That's a great song.
It's just one of my favorite covers because it takes the song and puts a completely different spin on it, which is some of my favorite things with some of these covers.
And I'll go to one because I want to talk about this one. And you have it too. Jeff Buckley. Hallelujah. I think it might be the most covered song of all time, originally by Leonard Cohen. And like, the Leonard Cohen worked for so long to make this an actual song. Took forever. He put it out and then it was popularized by everybody kind of but him. But I think this is the best cover of all time from a standpoint of improving it, popularity, well-knownness. I just think this is, like, you might not know it as a cover. You might not know it. But once you hear it, like, this song is so moving. Even if you're not religious, this song, it gives me the chills every time I've ever heard it.
Yeah, I always joke that some of the lyrics are just ridiculous, but I really, really do admire the way you did it. Because I listen to Leonard Cohen's version. Leonard Cohen's been, like, 110 years old since he's been 110 years old, which is 110 years ago. But just, like, some of the random, like, lyrics in this, when you put it together, like, Leonard Cohen sounds a little more drawn down, a little more beat down vocal, but Jeff Buckley brings in just that absolute, like, power to the song too.
A little ray of hope to a song that probably doesn't normally sound like that.
Yeah, also became very famous, this cover, through on the OC. Fun fact, but
used in Lost as well.
Was it really?
Yeah, I'm almost 1,000% sure.
Ooh. So that's like 900,000%. But I don't know. It might have been. Oh. Anyways, that's just, you know, whenever you hit and say Lost, I think I know everything. But an amazing song. Super, super emotional again, and just raw, stripped, not as much stripped down, actually, there's some actual electric guitar. But I just think, you know, and who the hell's Jeff Buckley? Like, with all due respect, like, outside of this, like, this is what I know him for. You know, I know he had other songs because, again,
I know Jeff Beck. I don't know Jeff Buckley.
That's who everyone thinks this is too. Yeah. That's the funny point. Everyone thought it was Jeff Beck. It's like, oh yeah, Jeff Beck, all this. But no, Jeff Buckley, who, it's just like, I don't know. I know he had other songs just because when I worked again at a contemporary radio station, we played some stuff, but this was really the big standout thing. And I think he also, like, retired from music, and he died in 1997.
Oh, pick of the pot.
At the age of 30 in Memphis, Tennessee.
All right, so I'm going to go another one here, sentimental for both of us, I think. Social Distortions, Ring of Fire. Our guy Frank from Frank Says Hi.
Yeah.
I think his favorite band of all time. And this is one of those songs. Anita Carter wrote it way back when, like, I don't know, probably 60, 70 years ago. Johnny Cash had a pretty famous cover, probably the more famous cover. Yeah, but I really like the Social Distortion one. And oddly enough, they might have been the band I've seen most in my life live.
And Bill, as we always joked about him, you see him on Tuesday, you see him on Thursday. Not only same set, same joke, same change of wardrobe, same everything. Not in a switch up in their repertoire. Not a band there's any reason to see them in any different city.
Nope. We always saw them.
Like, I would see them too. They opened for the Foo Fighters and they played, and I think I saw them somewhere. I somehow saw them two nights in a row. I think they did their own show, and I saw them open for the Foo Fighters at the Garden here in Boston. And yeah, it was the same set as if nothing was different.
They just feel like the ultimate local band that hit it big.
It's a great point. And the song is kick ass. Like the way that they turn it into, like, you, I could have a couple of dropkick songs here too, because they kind of find their way to rock spin Irishly to it. A lot of songs, but this was a hit too. This was a rock charting song there in the mid 2000s.
And I think what separates Social Distortion from like all of those local bands is the lead singer's voice just has a different tone and tenor to it. It really does. And I think that's what helps this song, because it's like a talking, singing. I just love this version more than any of the other versions.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. Actually, I sound more like Johnny Cash. It's all the same. Yep. Bill, for me, next, one of our favorite bands, a band that, again, I don't know if I said Weezer top five. I think that they would be right outside. I can't tell. Foo Fighters, though, doing a cover of Prince's Darling Nikki. And Darling Nikki was released, I think, in the mid-80s and was banned from radio stations. Ooh, it's about a prostitute. But the Foo Fighters did a cover for it. I believe it was on like a B-side, when B-sides were a thing. And I don't even know if they're still a thing, to their the album with the heart on the cover of it. But I can't remember now what the album was. But anyways, they were just – and this song just kicks absolute ass.
Booty.
Dude, the way this song kicks in, Nikki has started to cry and it's burning. Like, the Foo Fighters have such a way about them that I think now in the year of 2020, 2021, this era, people are starting to kind of like, oh, they do the same thing. They're becoming the classic rock band. But like 10 years ago, 15 years ago when this song came out, holy crap. There was so much like rock and enthusiasm behind each and every single one of their tracks.
And hand up on that guy with the Foo Fighters, because I like them, but I'm not like crazy about them. I think they're, you know, they're the consummate rock band, but Prince obviously loved that they did this, because Prince, I believe at the Super Bowl, did a Foo Fighter song, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, he did Best of You.
Yeah, so, which I think is their worst song, but I mean, it just shows you the respect that they had back and forth, and obviously you respect out of the hell out of Prince, and this was also a play called in the Dave Chappelle episode where he plays basketball, Tylan Bicky, Computer Blue, but yeah, I mean, I like that one. I'm going to go with another one from an old lady that was turned into a hit song by a young Whitney Houston, Dolly Parton, I Will Always Love You. I mean, I didn't know this was a cover until, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe even a little bit long, maybe shorter amount of time in between there. But, I mean, what Whitney Houston does is she takes probably one of the best songs written and makes it even better. Like, that's what a cover, I think, usually that hits it out of the park does. Like, same thing with Hallelujah. I mean, and you said there's some crazy lyrics in there, but it's a beautifully written song. I mean, I Will Always Love You is done by maybe the greatest singer. And Dolly Parton wasn't, you know, a slouch, but she takes it to such a next level. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's, again, perfect example of a song you didn't realize was a cover, because this is just, you know, world famous hit, you know, radio at its height there in the 90s, and a song, or even maybe late 80s there. But like, this was like, just everybody knew Whitney Houston, and Dolly Parton also, you know, a country bumpkin there. Back, if you listen to her version, you'd be like, it's slow, it's twangy. Really? I think there's some steel guitar. It's a great, great tune, but sounds like it was recorded in, you know, not without the state of the art equipment that has been developed, you know, even 10 years later when Whitney.
Sounds like it was recorded by Colonel Homer in an episode of The Simpsons.
Honestly, that's a great. Next one for me is a personal. This isn't necessarily worldly famous. Was released as a single, didn't get much radio airplay, so it's kind of cheat. My next two are kind of cheating. But Jimmy Eat World, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together from Taylor Swift.
I have to hear this then.
Yeah, I got to send this to you. I love Jimmy Eat World. They don't dress it up. Like, I also think this is a sneaky, like, maybe one of Taylor Swift's top five.
I love this song. Fucking
everything about
brilliant.
What we know about Taylor Swift has all been relationship based, pretty famous too, like in the public eye. And then boom, she finally has one of those tracks where it's like, hey, I'm not desiring you. I'm not mad at you. I'm just letting you know. Stop sliding in the DMs. Like we're never.
Like ever. That's ever. My favorite line.
It's unreal. You go talk to your friends. Talk to my friends. Talk to me. Great tune by Taylor Swift. Oh. Jimmy World on there. A tour they did, I want to say about a decade ago now, when they were rerunning some of their older albums. Mm-hmm. They started covering this. I saw it at the House of Blues. And it was amazing. And then they did release nuts. Yeah, they released it thereafter. It's a little slower, but just the voice of Jim Atkins, how high his voice can get, is so perfect. I told them in an interview, I wish they just did a direct cover because I would love to see them do that bubblegum pop style.
Oh, yeah.
But they just found the song. The reason they covered it, and this was a little bit of a fascinating nugget I found, that they like felt – artists say this sometimes. When they hear a song, they wish they wrote.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm always like that. Anytime I see a really good commercial or a really good, like even joke on a TV show, I'm like, I want to be in the writer's room when that happened. Like I want to be a part of that. Yes. So I think that's a home run pop song. That's like a pop song made in a factory. So also shout out Last Christmas. Another one of my favorite covers.
Had it on there.
Didn't make my list, but, kind of Christmassy.
Christmas. If you Bill, you sneaky thing, just so you know. Most radio songs that you listen to, like that big 50 Christmas songs, most are covers.
Oh, yeah. They're all covers from somebody who was like, ah, I'm going to make $1 million off of this song by covering it. Or taking one of their regular songs and putting Christmas lyrics.
You mentioned,
worst.
Yeah, it's true. That's the thing. Like, it's just, but like most songs you hear on the radio, even like Bing Crosby songs, like most of those were covers.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was people that were just like writing songs in their like little home and getting no radio play in the 20s that wrote them.
So this one is Punk Goes Crunk, and this – no, I think this is – it's like Metal Goes Crunk or whatever the hell it is. It's The Devil Wears Prada, Still Fly, and I was actually told by someone to
Crunk Goes Punk, I believe.
Yes. I was told by someone in a car one time to never play anything like this again, but I think it's such a weird – it's because like there's – Devil Wears Prada is, that screamo type of like crazy ass band. But I fucking love what they did with this song. And it's a great gym song. I probably should put it on my gym playlist, but I don't know if anyone would have known it. Still Fly probably would make a top 11 rap songs for me of all time. Love this song. People know it as the song like I grew up with. It's a phenomenal song. And they do it justice. And I don't know if you've ever seen a double bass live, like a double bass drum. The guy from Devil Wears Prada might be the best ever, and he absolutely destroys this song. It's a great one. Check it out.
Love that, Bill. Love it. That is a good – like all those – like there's a whole album, The Pop Goes Punk. And then there was a different – obviously, I'm a huge Nightmare Before Christmas. There was a whole cover albums with them, but that's a good pull there. For me, the next one – probably another one way off the beaten path. I'll have to send you a link here with like the Jimmy World song. Butch Walker covering In Bloom by Nirvana. So basically what he does now, I'm not the musician's musician. I'm just a music fan and critic. But what he does is, I believe, because Matt too, friend of the pod, told me, is In Bloom kind of has that it's kind of down. He basically flips, I want to say, we'll just call it like E chords, E minor chords, something like that, where it's a super happy song. And it always puts a smile on my face. Basically, it was called, I think, the Gray Album or something like that, where they took Nirvana and one of their albums and just made all the songs happy. It's just like a weird, or it's like called Nirvana with Flowers, something weird, some weird album that was put out.
How Nirvana should actually be perceived for their name.
Honestly, well, that's it. And that's why I love Kurt Cobain for his genius in the way his innuendo-based life, RIP as well. But Butch Walker takes a song to the next level, next heights, and it just does a remarkable job. If you're just looking for a nice smile and going for a walk or need to just getting ready for your day, In Bloom by Butch Walker is a great pop it on, smile, because obviously the song is so synonymous with Nirvana. You're not going to be able to avoid that, but he just flips it on its head and gives it a nice little like upbeat tune.
I'll give you a couple quick ones here that you probably didn't know were covers, like Pearl Jam, Last Kiss.
Yeah, I talked, you know, just so you know, before we did this, I threw it out to in DraftKings. I was on a dream stream with our friend at the Fantasy Grind, Moose, Jeff Ulrich. And we talked about this, and I said it almost borderline doesn't count. And I'm not saying this to you.
No, it doesn't, though. Like, you wouldn't know. You have no idea.
This song was literally recorded in, like, the 40s.
Yeah. But I think that's what makes the ultimate cover song is a song that you were like, this was a cover? Like, you took something that somebody didn't capitalize on the time. And, like, in the 40s, it's kind of like, you know, I'm not remembering a lot of songs.
It was like, we're just coming out of big band. This is, like, first, like, Little Richard hadn't even recorded a song yet.
But you're like, okay, we got something here.
Oh, yeah.
That's a talent.
I will give this too. This also very famous from the OC again. But this song, the original, I didn't know, Bill, this was something until I heard, where was it? It was definitely a radio host. It was when I was like trying, I was in school or whatever, but like somebody said, oh, that's a cover from, I forget the original artist. You may have it here. But I was like, what?
Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers.
Thank you. Because I remember going to Newbury Comics and trying to find this song. Because this is before
Jay Frank Wilson. Sorry.
Oh, even better. I went to Newbury Comics and asked people, do you have Last Kiss, but not the Pearl Jam version?
No.
And they were like, no, it's never been recorded to CD, to tape, anything. This song is so like, it's a rarity. Those 40s, early 50s songs are like hard to find, especially unpopular music.
I love that one. Another one, Natalie Imbruglia's Torn.
Yeah.
By Ed Swamp. I don't know. I don't even know what the hell the original one, but we all know that one, of course, you know. And then this one, again, I don't think it counts, but it's one of both of our favorite music videos of all time. George Harrison's I Got My Mind Set on You, originally by James Ray, like a million years ago. And again, kudos for finding a song and making it, to me, an absolute bop, like a bop, a pop hit. I love this song.
It's the music video is top notch. It's an outstanding song, fun, loving, you know, because we all listen. It's going to take a whole lot of money, a whole lot of spending money. I love this song so much.
And that's a theme that tests, like, stands the test of time, too. That's what I like.
It really does, Bill. You know, you're in that grind. And then guess what? Once you're back off the grind, it still costs a ton of freaking money. But yeah, it's an awesome song. And again, I'm almost disappointed that this was a cover when I saw it. But also, if you listen to a lot of George Harrison from post-Beatle days up to this late 80s, this was on his like Cloud Nine album. It just sounds like a whole different guy. Yeah. It's, you know, he was just a different point in his career. I think the next one I have here is actually a match with yours. And we both like it. I think New Order can kick rocks. I'm not a New Order fan when it comes to all that new wave music.
I love that era of music, like full on. Like, I have a Joy Division song on here, but again, I like the take on it better.
Yeah, give me Joy Division, give me The Cure. New Order, or give me Morrissey, or what was it? Oh, New Morrissey.
I like the Smiths. I like that entire era. I would say, like, you're right in the fact that this is the worst of the bunch.
I just never got down with it. I tried, Bill. I tried. I was like, I'm going to listen to more New Order at times when I get in, like, my new wave phase, that mid-80s phase. It's been a while since I've listened to that music, but never liked it. But when this song hit MTV, and I want to say 1998.
This is one of the ultimate covers. Like, you associate it with being a cover, and it takes it, and it rocks its goddamn face off.
It really is so good. Orgies, Blue Monday. When you hear this song and it's absolute nu metal glory of like the over-digitalized. And then this just depressing. Does it feel? Also feel like I could sing this song like and record as long as there was some good backing. I guess that's any song. But anyways, this song just slays. And this was at a time, Bill, where this type of music, when you really look at, I want to say this is 98. I want to say it.
It's either 98, 90, or 99. It was in that early TRL days because this cracked like at the top 10 of TRL, which was hard to do for a song like this.
Yeah, like Korn was like the habitual number two song for a while, but like you didn't get a lot of these in that era. And this song just like stands out. And I remember listening back and like looking at music at that time. And you look at like the weekly charts, whether it's Billboard or the alt charts at that time, it was like vastly different music. This just sounded astoundingly different. And again, you said it. That's what makes a good cover. Very different from the original, but also gives such a tribute to the original because the way it's sung, very similar until he starts.
Well, the bones are their money, right? Like, because it's the bones of the song that's what makes this money. It really does, because like it's all there in the original song. They just took it and took it to a podcaster's dozen, if you will, to 11. Like, that's what they did with this that I love. And I'll go into mine right now from Joy Division. Shadow Play by The Killers. I didn't really know this song at all by Joy Division. Yeah. But this is a song, when it comes on, this song kicks fucking ass. And it's all there by Joy Division. It's just The Killers take it and turn everything up 1,000,000%. And it makes it, I'm not going to say one of my favorite songs, but like anytime I hear this, it's a listen through every time. And then all of a sudden I'm listening to it for another few weeks. Like, this song fucking rips.
Yeah, this also, I believe, and this is going to sound tough if you're a big Killers fan, I still think this is the last good Killers album.
It is, 100%.
Day and Age, I believe, was their next album. And that's even like, I love Hot Fuzz. Sam's Town, I really like. And then Sawdust was basically those two albums, all their B-sides and songs that they didn't release. And they recorded Shadow Play as one of them. And I'm in the same boat. And I think it was revealed to me either when the record label representative came into our radio station and told us, like, I had no idea. They're like, oh, this song's actually a cover. I'm like, okay, like, by who? And like, Joy Division. I'm like, Joy Division? Huh? You listen to the song, you're like, I don't see it. Then you hear the Joy Division song and it's very similar, but very good. Like, Brandon Flowers has sneaky great covers throughout his career. And this is, again, the biggest, I think, cover hit that he's been associated with from radio play and sales wise.
It's fantastic. I love it. And I've always wanted to make, even though I don't like horror movies, but like, I feel like you can make a horror movie out of nothing but Killers songs. That is still,
it's so fitting. Band name and everything. Look at you.
Mm-hmm. It's very trippy. It's very like even the, Somebody Told Me has that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah. Smile Like You Mean It has that as well. Man, the Killers have had a lot more albums, I thought, than I'm just kind of looking through there.
They might be an interesting discography. We could probably cut it off at some point.
No, but that would be a good one, just to like go back and listen. Even some of their newer stuff I didn't dive into.
I think you have this one as well. Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower.
I didn't put it on there, but easily could have. Like, yeah, this is another one of those songs. When you hear it, you're like, that's a cover?
I think Bob Dylan songs were made to be covered. Like, honestly.
I'm sorry. He's a great writer. He just, his songs are tough listens.
He's the consummate like musician that probably shouldn't have got famous, that did just because he had so much, spunk, I guess. I don't know. He was a great writer, great music. Like, he could put together a freaking song, and that defied the odds of him not being able to really sing. But Jimi Hendrix and his guitar play and the difference in the two songs, again, it just takes what Bob Dylan did and makes it immensely better. Like a whole level better. A whole, 10 levels better.
Yeah, without a doubt. It was like apples and oranges between the two artists, just from everything.
I don't even think it's like fruits. I don't think it's like comparable to like other fruits. It's like apples and Dodge Durangos.
Dirt and water. Next one for me, Bill, is The Beatles, one of their more fun songs. They have, again, sneaky amount of covers because, they got hot in the mid-60s there and basically took all the 50s music and made a massive hit. But Twist and Shout, you know it from... the famous clip from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but this song rocks. It is a party-pleasing song. It's a crowd-pleaser. It's originally from the Isley Brothers, who a lot of inspiration for the Beatles came from the Isley Brothers. If you listen to Paul McCartney or George Harrison interviews, John Lennon a little more thoughtful than some of the more pop music, but just amazing song. And literally just, you can put that on at a wedding, you can put that on at a funeral, and everyone's moving.
Yeah, I mean, if you put this on at a wedding, I do the incredible leg shakes. So that's one that I love. Another one that I love, I hold near and dear to my heart here. I had no idea this was a freaking cover until probably a year or two ago, as we got a debut from our original triple threat partner, Desmond.
Desmond the cat. If you're watching on the YouTube.
I think he's been a part of the most podcasts ever, even more than, like, at this point, Wes.
Even more than you?
Probably more than me, yeah. But I'm going to go with Soft Cell, Tainted Love. No idea this was a fucking cover, but I love this song.
I debated putting the Marilyn Manson version on from Not Another Teen Movie. But it's not. The Soft Cell version, it's so good because then you even get the baby, 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 where did our love go? Oh, this song really is. Like, again, Soft Cell had no hits. This is it, I believe. This is the one and done. But, like, this is in that same new wave era, that mid-80s. And this song is so good. This is an excellent, excellent song.
I have a soft spot in my heart for this song for a long time. It's just one of those, like, classic 80s songs I've always kind of been smitten with the 80s songs, and this one kind of takes it to another level of being totally 80s. Like, you know, you might confuse it with like Humanly, who surprisingly had a ton of hits. But I really, really love this song. And I would probably, if we were to draft it, I would have drafted it in like the top four for me.
Interesting, Bill. I just want to let you know a little update on the our cold open again, where we called our buddy Marco. He did text me and he said that he was working on something, but he said you were going to spend that 20 on something you shouldn't have anyways. You listen to the voicemail. I'll give him credit there. Up next for me, I think we have a couple of repeats coming up or ones around, so we'll kind of fly through these next few. Nirvana, The Man Who Sold the World. Yes. This is originally a David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust. You know this from their Unplugged album, which is the Unplugged album. Very few times do I ever say like somebody's live album might be their best, but Nirvana literally might be their best album.
Was Eric Clapton Unplugged? I would say is right up there, and obviously he did Layla too.
I was going to say that's where the more famous version of Layla comes from, because you get that like very good.
Doesn't though, because Layla is associated with friggin' Goodfellas. Well, the back half of it, I believe, is the entire like play of the movie.
Yeah, just that the part at the end of Layla that goes on. Yeah.
But I agree. To me, when I think of Unplugged, I think of Nirvana, and I think of this song.
This song also has the best. There's feedback in the middle of this song that I always listen for. I think it's hilarious. It's like the third time through it, and there's like this weird feedback. But Man Who Sold the World, again, David Bowie original. People, and then you hear it. It's gotten radio play over the last, you know, decade or so on classic rock stations, but it's just vastly different. And I love what Nirvana did with it, especially in an unplugged setting.
Yeah. And I think that we already spoke to the creative genius that is Kurt Cobain calling Nirvana his band, and then being like the most downtrodden band in recent memory. So I'll just go one quick here. And I actually think our buddies from Copilot, who Rye sings all of our songs here on PCP, Chris Stapleton's Tennessee Whiskey. I really like that version. I don't even know the other one. And then another quick one here that they also do, Copilot, is Valerie, which I think is a song that everyone covers live because it's just such a fun song. But the way Amy Winehouse, I mean, another pick of the pods here.
Yeah, a lot of 27 Club here.
So, but the way she sings it, I think Mark Morrison did the beat to it for her as well. What a phenomenal.
No, Mark Ronson.
What a phenomenal cover. And, you know, put that on everyone from every age group. It's probably, I don't know if you can make it a Guardians of the Galaxy song because it's not that old, but this is like that Guardians feel that everyone will like this song.
Yeah, you can dance. Well, you never know where we're going here with this multiverse of things, Bill. So by the next time the Guardians, maybe this is a perfect fit. I agree with you there. I love that song. And the Tennessee Whiskey, another song. Again, didn't really know much about the original. Again, another twangy hit that kind of came roaring back in. I think the next two we had on both, there's no denial. I'm not a fan. And both of these songs are these bands' first massive hits on radio. So I don't like that a band comes out with a cover because I think it's kind of cheap. But one band obviously had a lot more success than the other. The more successful Limp Bizkit, Faith. Like, talk about taking a song and just like crumpling up a newspaper and then trying to flatten it back out and say you never did it. This song just takes everything from the George Michael song and just does vastly different things, including a part where you just have Fred Durst just wailing his voice to the point of like you can't.
Oh, God. Yeah, and looks just old as hell now, by the way.
Yeah, he does, but still love him. His voice, like at the end, where it's just his like that
shut part, the fuck
like,
up.
Yeah, it's just, he's just, I don't know. His voice gets shot. The song's recorded so low budget like, and it is, but it just takes it to another level.
It's an ultimate, mosh pit song. One would have been probably number one with a bullet for me, just because at a time, Limp Bizkit was my favorite band ever.
Oh, dude.
I had a poster that was literally like one of those ones that was like probably 10 by like 16. It was massive. It took up my whole room. That and a Korn poster. Also, Korn, by the way, had it covered Word Up.
Yeah, I thought that kind of sucked.
Personally. I actually really like that. But back to George Michael's Faith here that they covered. And I loved Korn and my mom, not Korn. I love Limp Bizkit and Korn, but my mom had to tell me this was a cover. And I was like, no, it isn't. And then one day it came on the original. And I was like, I don't like this song. But as I got older, the original Faith, probably a better composed song, obviously, because George Michael is amazing.
Yeah, the mixing and everything of Limp Bizkit is absolutely trash. But,
love Limp Bizkit with a bullet. This is would have been my first pick.
Yeah, I think if we were to do a top 11, it might be our number one, because just guessing where we both rank it. I didn't rank these, but this would probably be right up there. Because again, it's a perfect age group for people in their mid-30s, low, early 40s, and in between. Because you were probably in end of elementary to high school, and New Wave was huge. I mean, sorry, New Rock or whatever.
If we did a DSG one, it would probably be number one, because I bet you Keith and Davey would have this as their number one.
I don't know, though. I don't know if there's much... It would be interesting. I think you're right.
We can ask them, because we might be on their show in about 10 minutes.
Something going on with them. And then the other one is Alien Ant Farm with Smooth Criminal, which, just a little fun fact, two things. Originally, they released their song Movies first.
Yeah.
Got no love.
Which is a great song, though.
Yeah. Oh, I love movies. And just like, it's very sad. I remember having a lot of angst to that song with my
guy. Looks like Steve-O, by the way, too.
Yes, very much. Also broke his neck. And they have one of the greatest videos for the song These Days, which was on a Madden soundtrack. They were at the they crashed the BET Awards in whatever it was, like 2000 or 01. And that video I thought was fake, but it's legit. They literally crashed it, performed the song outside. It was awesome.
I'm getting this was my first introduction to the big FNX days. It was this, Franz Ferdinand. These were my early this is kind of music made for people my age. And I like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, this song I just thought was awesome. Again, covering Michael Jackson's the only time you'll hear Michael Jackson references from me on this podcast, but I just thought this was just what a smash and just stands out. Loved every second of it. So, that for me is an absolute home run for them. So I basically have three left on my list after. So if you want to rip through a few and then we'll wrap up.
I have three left too, because I kind of stuck a few in there. I will go with the Vitamin String Quartet.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Get Lucky. Have you heard this though?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
It's awesome. It's fun. it's the
I had to listen to it. To be honest, do you know when I listened to it, Bill? 20 minutes before we start. Well, when you sent me this list, whatever that was.
I like it. It's a fun song. It's basically Get Lucky by Daft Punk, but with a string quartet. Who doesn't like that? We can bounce back and forth from here.
Yeah, so I have Shine Down, Simple Man. Again, this all is biased because I got I saw this in person with the band 5 feet in front of me, and it just, I was like, whoa. And then I didn't realize how much of a hit it was actually on radio play, because I wasn't for the stations here in Boston, the AAF, which I then ended up working for. But AAF to me was kind of I was more of an FNX, BCN, The River, adult contemporary to strict alternative, not as much the rock stuff. And then I realized this song is just bleeding good. So I think they just take the original Leonard Skinner and make it amazing, make it modern. And I just absolutely love it. And the voice just stands out. So again, Shine Down, Simple Man.
Another quick one I forgot about until right now. Black Crowes, Hard to Handle.
Another one you wouldn't realize it's a cover.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be their most popular song. I don't really love it, but I just think that's interesting that their biggest hit was our guy Otis, my man, Redding's, one of his big hits as well. So then I'll go and, I was as a kid, I was do I like Metallica? And honestly, the song that kind of turned me into going into old Metallica, because I didn't listen to old Metallica when I was little, because it came out when I was little. You know what I mean? It came out in the 80s. But I loved Whiskey in a Jar, and that's a really old song that they rocked the hell out of.
I love it. I love this. Is such a good call. Again, another song I wouldn't have known was a cover just based on the way they do it. But yeah, Whiskey in a Jar. This song's great. And it's also another one of those Metallica like 5.5 minute songs that is so radio friendly, but plays, rocks, and you move on with your life. And it's absolutely amazing. So this is another one of those really good songs that, again, wouldn't have known it was a cover. But like the feel of the song, Bill, kind of has that folky feel. So you're like, I can understand it being a cover song.
Yeah, and I like what they did with it as opposed to – and like I'll expose myself here. When people ask me, oh, do you like music? I'm like, I like every kind of music except Irish music.
Oh, whoa.
I hate the Dropkick Murphys, mostly everything they do. Whoa. And like if you go to a band, you go to a bar on St. Patrick's Day and they start playing like legitimate Irish music, that's the only thing I'll say, get out of my face.
Oh, boo. You suck. Mm-hmm. Aren't you Irish?
Yes. Very so, Irish.
My second last one, I think these would also be right up there with my Limp Bizkit, but I know this one's kind of chalky, but Johnny Cash Hurt, like.
Oh, phenomenal.
Literally, like, the Nine Inch Nails song wasn't popular. Was not a hit. It was just kind of out there. Like,
It was somewhat popular. That was somewhat a hit.
Sure. Okay. So, like, somewhat a hit we'll go with. But, like, not, like, massive radio play.
Not top in their catalog, but you knew it. And you knew Johnny Cash was covering a Nine Inch Nails song.
So, I personally didn't. Like, I literally heard the song and I was like, wow, Johnny. And, like, Johnny Cash died, really, like, shortly after this song, you know, was released. And you hear it in his voice, especially the way, like, the pounding piano comes in. Like, if I could start again. And, like, it sounds like a man reflecting on his life. Like, this song feels like a 1990, I think it was, like, 95 or whatever this came off of the album, like, Downward Spiral, whatever, from Nine Inch Nails, like, and then released again in, what, 03-ish by Johnny Cash. Like, this should have absolutely felt like Johnny Cash wrote this, knowing this would be his last release song. Like, this song tears me up, dude. Like, when you really listen to it, and it's not feel good, it's not happy, it's nothing. And then even the end, like that ominous, like piano, like tone, as you hear him like fade out at the song, like just
he's got that talk, very talky voice. You know what I mean? Yes. Very like
Johnny Cash has kind of always had that. Like that's kind of
But like it's like I've been everywhere. I love Johnny Cash. I think
he's thinking about you. That's literally what it sounds like. I've been everywhere, man.
but without the melody.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere.
And my last one is a little bit of a team up and a cover, but I'll tell you this one, Jam Master Jay's, maybe not his best work. I still think the Christmas song is his best work because like the way he mixes in all the Christmas songs. But I love Run DMC. Like if I wear a Run DMC shirt someday and somebody's like, name all their songs, I will name you all their songs. I love Run DMC. I think they're innovative,
first of all,
incredible.
Whoever does that, piss off.
Yeah.
Can't wear a shirt. Like, what if I like a what if I like a design of a shirt? It's like when I see somebody wearing like a wrestler shirt. Am I gonna tell them what's your top five favorite matches? No. Cool shirt. Move on.
Honest to God, like if somebody walked up to me, I'd be like, "All right, Sucker MC's lyric off right now." And unless it's the actual guys from the group, I'm gonna win.
But dead, so.
Walk This Way, I think, is one of those things that kind of turned music on its head at the time. And, like, some people still to this day are like, nah, fuck the Run DMC version because, yeah, it's the world we live in. But I absolutely love this. Just, like, the way they kick in all of the hip-hop beats. It, to me, this, like, and, you know, they do the lyrics of Steven Tyler. I love this song. This would probably be, like, my two.
Yeah, this changed music. Like, this is a pivotal moment in music history.
Literally breaking walls down in the music video. Like, and the music video is incredible, too. This would be, like, on a top music video for me, too. Just because of, like, it felt like a commercial. It felt like a Coke commercial at the time.
It really did.
Because it was so odd.
There's a lot of Coke there, but.
Yeah. Well, a lot of rock and rap. Like, the rock-rap team-up, was this the first?
It's the first commercialized, at least, to, like, really make it popular. And, again, like, where music is today, potentially, like, somebody may have eventually done it because it's just, like, natural with, like, labels and stuff. But, like, this was no label tie-ins. This was, like, a complete two, you know, individually creative entities teaming up for this. So yeah, a great, great opportunity, you know, by both of those two.
That's my list.
I like it. So my number one, I've said this, anybody will ever talk to me, ask what's your favorite cover. It's this. I'll end it on it. Red Hot Chili Peppers Higher Ground.
Oh,
I think it
100%. And I didn't put it on because you had it, but I also want to bet on this because our buddy Anthony, friend of the show, thought this was originally a Red Hot Chili Peppers
song. Good, because it's that, and Stevie Wonder. We're talking about one of the greatest of all time. With any
Superstition, his Superstition is also a cover.
Yeah, good fun facts everywhere here, boys and girls. You're learning a lot here on this Pop Culture Pile Driver. Make sure you subscribe to us on whatever your favorite podcast platform is. And if your friend told you to listen to us, thank that friend. But seriously, like this song is everything I love about music. It takes a song. And it takes the original, it gives enough reference point that you know it's original. Even in one point, you have the Red
Stevie Chili Peppers going off myself or whatever the hell he's
like, Stevie going off. So it's like ridiculous, but like gives a shout out. But like they take the song, ramp it up to, again, a podcaster's dozen of 11, and just rock it out. It is so well done. It is so well produced.
It's Flea and was it Anthony Kiedis?
Anthony Kiedis and Will Ferrell.
They just take it to such an unbelievable, like, rocking, just, it literally, it's up there. Like, Shadow Play isn't on this level, but it takes a song that had all of the core elements. And already, like, that song is already a fantastic song. And it took it and put it at, such a higher level. Like, it's incredible.
It's great. It is, again, I don't even think I'm giving enough credit how much love I have for it. And again,
this would be the one. This should be the one, I think, of all of them, because it takes it and does the most with it without really even – it's still the same song. Just – I don't know how to – like, it sounds weird. It's the same song but completely different and way better.
Yeah, I dude, this is – it's incredible. Again, just the group that was at the height of their fame at the time, taking a song from a different genre. Everything's great about it. 100% think this is the greatest cover. Again, IMO, or maybe it's a Pop Culture Pile Driver's opinion. But let us know your favorite cover songs. Maybe we talked about it. Maybe we didn't get enough into the ones you like. Let us know. You can always tweet at us at PopCulturePD, at Jason D. Rossi, at BillyD24, and then the word 11. Yeah, good luck with that one. But Bill, I thought this was a bang up job here. And I thought, honestly, this was just overall just an outstanding topic to talk about, because everyone loves a good cover song and a good music conversation. Who doesn't? Come on. Oh, yeah, I'm a bit out of my mind. Lots doing in the world, Bill. Let's get it out of our minds. First thing, keep it on the music topic. The Offspring booted their drummer out of the band because he's not getting vaccinated.
You got to keep them separated.
Yeah. It was one of the main songs that people talked about. And yeah, so if you don't know, Dexter, the lead singer of the Offspring, is like a scientist of some sorts. He's like super smart, like a brainiac that people don't know enough about unless you're a super Offspring fan. Because they're not like a huge band in the last decade, but
no, but they're a huge band overall. First album. I bought with my own money, by the way.
Smash?
Yes.
Come on. Honestly, I actually love some of their latter efforts too. But basically just said, hey, we want to go on tour. We want to travel the world. We're doing it like the right way, the scientific way. You're not going to play the role. You're out. Dude, this like broke earlier today. Like, I just find that very fascinating, but also goes to show, with all due respect, not only do the right thing in this world and do right by people, regardless of vaccinations or not, but also like try to be a little more irreplaceable. Like, I hate to say that in bands. Like, I hate bands in some way sometimes because you just know the lead singer. Maybe you know the guitarist. Like, there's so many nameless, faceless bands out there. And I really hope that we get, as music, you know, the next wave of rock, they'll probably be in the 2030s. Like, that it's more like the U2s, regardless if you like U2, but you know the U2, like the Edge, you know
Bono. We just talked about one, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yes, you know Flea.
I know the whole band. I didn't know the replacement, but John Frusciante, Will Ferrell on drums, you have you know, Flea, Anthony Kiedis. Like, it's a known band. We need more of that. Nirvana, I know, like, now, but Chris Novoselic, Kurt Cobain, Dave Grohl. the Beatles, like, I know we're going all over the place, but
that's a little bit of a different stratosphere. But there's a lot, like, you know all the members of Blink-182, even though they're a one-hit wonder, but you know all of those guys. How dare I? And we'll be on their podcast soon, probably. But
I love the podcast. I think it's just a social event.
Whatever it is. But, yeah, I would agree, like, you know, and you know a lot of the guys from Metallica, too, probably for the lawsuit, but either way.
I know Lars Ulrich because he sucks. He's a douche, and he tried to get rid of all free music. My cat is clearly raising hell. Usually we do this thing where he sleeps down in the room where I'm recording and we don't bring all his food down till that moment, but unfortunately I think that's happening now. Also just music stuff, I know you have something, but I want to say, Bill, huge news in our world, the Bravery, Bill, are looking to make a return to music.
This another one of those FNX bands that I love, one of the best live shows. I don't even think you were there with me. It was at, like, the Paradise Club or something.
I was there.
Were you? I was there with Mike Shea randomly, too. It was one of those ones I won tickets to. This might have been before you were in radio. I know you worked in radio.
But this was before.
Their first album, I adore. And even their second album was really good. The third album kind of is where they, like, went off the beaten path a little bit. But this is a band that, like, if they're coming around, they're coming around, we're going.
Oh, dude, this band, like, their first album, the self-titled The Bravery, is one of the most, like, listened to through albums of that time for me, like 2005.
Oh, easy.
And it's all, and it's another one of those albums, like the original Foo Fighters album. The lead singer's name is Sam Endicott, and he produced and wrote and played all the instruments on the whole album before there was a band. Like, just an amazing, underrated talent. If you know it, you know it. If you don't, get to know it, because, listen, 16 years later, here they come back. And it was just an ambiguous Twitter post basically saying that the hunger is back for them to play music again, more to come.
Oh, I mean, Fearless is one of my favorite songs.
Like, I just put it on my Amazon Music, and I just let that album play the other day. It was because it's like a 42-minute album, and it's just so easy to listen on a car drive.
Swollen,
like,
Summer.
So, oh, dude, that was our summer songs.
They cut a... speaking of my copyright infringements that I probably would have thought of, they cut a Reno 911 promo to that song on here.
I love that. I love that. That was also that Comedy Central that summer was like their like summer programming, like the Swollen Summer. You see all like the shows. That's, you know, huge news, at least in pop culture, polygraph world of music. You had something you were listening to, Bill.
Nelly Grills just came on the other day. One of those songs comes on shuffle, and you're like, rob the jewelry store and tell them, make me a grill. I love that song. Also, Get Buck in Here. Probably going to get a copyright claim on that soon because I'm going to cut Giannis Antetokounmpo winning a title to that song because that song also bumps.
I love it. The bad boy of Twitter is right here, boys and girls. You get him only one place, the Pop Culture Pile Driver.
Yeah, so I'll just make stuff on my Twitter and then retweet it through our Twitter so we don't get the copyright claim, just me.
Yeah, and you just keep getting booted and keep creating, you know, new accounts.
Yeah.
Somewhere with the 24 and 11. Also, just, you know, some wrestling news that actually kind of is becoming bigger just because, Bill, we're in, finally, crowds are back. I feel like wrestling fans are really returning. There's a lot of excitement in, like, a new company like AEW, honestly. Like, right now, it's currently airing as we're recording, and I'm getting insane news. Like, just always exciting 2 hours of wrestling there. A lot of news about CM Punk making a return. A lot of news about Daniel Bryan going to be going there. Some other WWE people that were sent, cast off, or released over the past year or so are there. But, Bill, Bray Wyatt.
We have to do a whole show on him. And I was going to pitch it this week, but I think we need the prep. But,
you know what? Then I'm just going to pause this here and let you know we are going to do it. We should do a WWE run of Bray Wyatt from 2013 to 2021 because his run is remarkable. It's so creative. It is a character that is so different. So whether it's one of our little bonus episodes or full episode, whatever it is, there's going to be a good amount of wrestling, I think, here in August with SummerSlam coming and a 15 years later of wrestling we went to. I don't want to talk about this year, but also, Bill, a little spoiler, Vegas is getting some heat right now, so things are changing. So maybe we dodge a bullet. Who knows? I'm still mad at you. And I saw you all had the audacity in our DSG chat the other day. I saw you say something about, like, you and the boys are making jokes about when you go to New Jersey. Well, F you in New Jersey. It was this program a month ago when we're here making plans.
I would have loved to. I would do anything I could to be there.
I really would.
I hate golf too. But I will say that Bray Wyatt should have been the next Undertaker. And they had the roadmap to do it, and they didn't do it. So to me, he is the biggest wasted talent in the last 25 years of WWE. I mean, I don't think that's I don't think that's arguable.
Well,
he still did a lot, but you could have made the cornerstone of your programming. Like, the Undertaker was there through everyone, every single person from like the early 90s to 2015. He was there. You could have Bray Wyatt from 2013 to freaking 2030. Like, you could have had him there. He's a great wrestler. He's innovative. He's creative. And I think the most important thing is he cares about his own character. I think I think that matters more than almost anything, because I think John Cena is at that level, and there's very few people. I think Roman Reigns might now be at that level, but there's very few people in wrestling who care about how they're taken care of. Some people are just like, it's working for me, I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, and I think this is a great idea, because we'll talk about the two pods we'll be coming up with, both kind of wrestling-ish related. But Ronda Rousey also had a tweet, Bill. I thought this is fascinating. Obviously, kind of a controversial figure when it comes to you know, wrestling fans, even though she really did lead to the women getting a main event at WrestleMania and had a really nice little run for herself there. But she tweeted out, or it might have been an Instagram post, basically this past Monday on Raw, it opened up with Goldberg, which, by the way, they said Bray Wyatt was budget cuts for one of the more creative guys. So take that. And Goldberg, by the way, who's in there, who's making like $8 million a year and getting two matches and just gets title matches. Anyways, creative aside, Goldberg comes out. The whole crowd is chanting, "We want Wyatt." Big "We want Wyatt" chant. So Ronda Rousey comes out and says, "We want hashtag We want Wyatt." But last, you know, when he was in the ring months ago, you would be chanting like "Beach balls." You ungrateful, like wrestling fans are ungrateful.
No cap, as they kids say. She's 100% on point.
She is
with that criticism, but I will counter. And I totally agree with her, and I think a wrestling crowd is a little different than wrestling fans inherently. But what I will say is, you also drove Bray Wyatt into the ground creatively.
Sure. So, she called them, by the way, I just want to get ungrateful idiots. Wrestling fans are ungrateful idiots. And I am one, and I'll be honest, she's not wrong. She's not wrong. I'm not saying she's 100% right, but she's not wrong.
She's not wrong in a generalized sense. Like, what she said was facts. But also, you took, like, just let Bray Wyatt do what he wants to do, and what happened to him would have never happened.
Well, that's 100%. Like, there's so much, obviously, with wrestling, like business that you work in, the business I work in, people are getting released or leaving, you're like, or let go, whatever, furloughed, whatever's going on in the world today. But you're always like, why would that happen? And there's always more to the story than just a budget, politics, all that stuff. There's a combination. As I said, there were rumors that Bray was also very mentally unhealthy a few months ago after the loss of Brody Lee, one of his good friends. So take all this stuff with a grain of salt. The weird thing is, his end of his run ended at WrestleMania. And before that, the match he had before, they was burnt to crisp. His whole creative arc, they tied in Alexa Bliss. I really do like the idea of doing a full deep dive on his 7-year run and maybe having one of those, you know, one of our deep dives here on the Pop Culture Pile Driver. But that will be an upcoming. And also next week, we're going to look at the new movie, Bill. I think it's our first new movie review. And I feel like next week's going to be the first full four podcast. The Suicide Squad is coming to HBO Go, I believe. So maybe
we can have theaters. I'm going to go see it in theaters.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Why not?
We can talk. Maybe I'll go with you. What the hell? Yeah. This time we can actually do it. We'll see what comes through. Either that or just we can watch it outside my house. But anyways, but yeah, Suicide Squad and starring the world famous John Cena. And that's all I really care about. But hearing really good stuff, James Gunn, a James Gunn joint, I guess you could say. So we'll see if Billy likes it. If I like it, we'll put a Billy gun to your head, a Bark gun to your dick, and see what comes out of it.
Yeah, I'm in.
Bill, what's going on in the DSG? I'm not hitting the noise.
Yeah, this week in the Dorkshed Gooniverse, I think everyone is going to be doing Suicide Squad. I don't know what anybody did this week, though.
I think the Mac and Goo did a movie from the 80s. I forget.
Oh, Alien. They did Alien. Oh, Aliens. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Aliens. The second.
I've been busy, so I don't know what anybody else did. I think Dork did a rewatch.
Dork did Fear Street. Yeah. Which is, I talked a little bit about in the past. Good stuff. I haven't listened to their full pod yet. And yeah, they did the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yep.
Let's change my mind. Yeah. And then you had the Streaming Boys streaming their things.
Yeah. Pineapple Boys be Pineapple. And we're coming up on season 3. We just had the full season 2 review with our guy, Jake, from Crossing State Lines. That was fun. That's up. Check that out. All the streamers, Shine Time, who's making big moves in the radio world as well. And Davey Eyeballs on Twitch, too. And Doc, of course.
Love it. All right. That'll do it for us here. Make sure to follow him at BillyD24, the word 11. I'm at Jason D. Rossi. We are at Pop Culture PD. Again, some good content coming at you for August. We're definitely going to review the 2006 SummerSlam, which we were at. We are going to look at the career of Bray Wyatt. I think that's such a good call by Bill. We will have Suicide Squad next week and much more fun and shenanigans here. Appreciate each and every single one of you listening. Make sure that you're spreading love, not hate, drinking a ton of water, being a good person, because it's free. And Bill, any final words here for the podcaster, listener?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.